How many of y'all realize today that the Lord Jesus Christ is in this house? I want to give a little shout out and a little thanks. I want to thank all you young people for being here. I want to thank you university students for being here. I don't believe what the media says. The media says y'all's generation going to hell and nothing's going to be done. I think they're lying. Because those of you that I know, guess what? I want to thank all you newlyweds. Man, I see you newlyweds out there. Coach Obie, guess what they want to do? They want to stay married. And that's coming from God. And you know what? We're going to work on that. We're going to give you the best biblical understanding that we know how to give you. And you better pray a lot and hold on after that. And God's going to change some things. I'm here today and I preach the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected for one reason. It works. And lives are changed from it. And marriages are held together. And children are blessed. And worlds are changed. Because you know what? I'll tell you what, man, I was feeling the energy in worship today. And every once in a while, I don't worship the energy. Please don't send me an email. Give me a big theological lecture and all that. I've already heard all this stuff. It's okay to feel God's energy. Let me tell you this. When Moses came off that mountain after talking to God, and he got those Ten Commandments, they all knew who he'd been with. And in the presence, the Shekinah of God was all over Moses to such a point that they hid their face because they knew who he'd been with. Well, you know what? Today, some of y'all are going to go eat somewhere. Right? Michael, you're going to go eat somewhere? They're going to know who you've been with. They've been with God, the smell of God. Andrew and Lindsay and parents, thank y'all for loving Jesus Christ. Thank you for putting it in him. Thank you that it's going to her. That's the way it works. It's not a magic secret. But here's what we're trying to do in America today. In the United States of America today, we're trying to say, you know what? We can spit on every order that God's put on motion and have a blessing. And it's not so. Amen. And so today, this is a tough lesson today. And I wish it was a lesson that I could tell you, you know, your pastor, your brother, your friend, Steve, has followed this well. I have not. But I want to tell you, I'm very direct with you today. The places in my life that I have not followed this beatitude, I have big scars. Not small ones, big ones. Now, I'm still functional, but I have big scars in places of my life. And God doesn't smooth those scars out. He's healed me. He leaves those scars there. Because if I ever want to be stupid again, I run across that scar. Oh, Jesus. I remember you healed that. He said, I love you enough, heirs. Don't be stupid again. Now, God doesn't talk to y'all like that. God can probably talk sweet and nice to many of you all. God does not speak sweet and nice to me because I don't listen well. And sometimes God loves me enough, he has to go, yes, Lord. He goes, would you? Yes, Lord. He loves me enough to discipline me. He loves me enough to bring me into his attitude. He loves me enough to cleanse me of our nasty sin and give us a better life. Isn't that his message? Well, remember, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they will receive the kingdom of what? That's right, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. Both of those are interchangeable. You've learned well. Now, the kingdom of heaven is for those that realize I can't get there on my own. Now this, and Pastor Jamie did a beautiful job last week. Man, if you got to be here last week and hear Pastor Jamie, man, he blew it. I mean, God spoke to him in a big way. Now, if you didn't get to hear him, you can look that up on Hillview TV. And the way you look that up is hillview.com. And that takes you, and there's a place that says Hillview TV. And if you don't know how to use the computer well, you can still find it because I can find it. And if I can get on there, anybody can get on there, okay? In fact, when our great tech guys put that together, I said, I want you to imagine me trying to find it. And they said, that's a lot of work. I said, there you go. But listen to that sermon so you can stay in line with these teachings, okay? Now listen, we got to learn to mourn again. The reason we don't want to make improvements is because we don't mourn. And see, really, if you got some friends that have ever been through rehab, they're just following God's process. That's all the 12 steps are. That's all they're God's process. I've come to a realization, oh, poor in spirit. I cannot do this on my own. Mourn that I need something better. I've got, we call it like this in recovery. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I stop mourning where I am so the Spirit of God can begin to send comfort into me so I don't have to stay there. That's all that's going on, guys. That's how beautiful God is. Now, today is a tough principle. Blessed. And it's going to be, man, for those of you all that are like me, when I first read this and I heard this in Sunday school as a little boy, I just blew it off. I said, that's one of those I can set on the shelf because I just wasn't wired that way. Blessed are the meek. Well, Lord have mercy. When I heard the word meek, how many, especially some of you old tough guys, when I hear, how many of y'all want to be meek? See, I had a misinterpretation of Scripture. Now, what the devil will do is when you read the Scripture, he will throw you false images. Remember, the devil is an expert at what? False imagery. True? He started a long time ago. He said, do not make false images. Because the devil is always shining what at us? False images. Got them all over our culture, especially in our culture. Watch this. There's not a day that goes by that we don't deal with image. You turn on your phone, what? It's either got an apple on it or a rainbow on it or something on it. It's imaging. It's truth. Well, my image of meek was Steve Urkel. Y'all remember Urkel? Oh, man. I had this image of just wimp. And I said, surely Lord, the Lord is not saying, blessed are the wimps, for they will inherit the earth. Surely God wouldn't say something like that. But hold on, that's not what he was saying. So I really dug deep. I said, Lord, I do not know what this word means. And I finally realized why we have such a struggle with this particular beatitude is because we don't have an English word that'll match with the Greek word. See, when you get into like Greek language, like Spanish, those are called Romanic languages. Greek is a very precise language. The verbs at the end change total meanings. Where in English, we're kind of bland. You know, we kind of come from England. That's not known for a bastion of excitement. Neither is our language. You know, it's kind of plain. It's not romantic. We're just kind of, we're real white. You know, boom. Meek. That ought to sum it up. But no. The word really begins to define itself in this. It makes a lot more sense. Pretentious. Without pretentiousness. It gives that connotation because, now this is going to be tough for us because we all live in America. Now listen, how many of y'all can be honest? Let's go ahead and be honest. Isn't that true? Yeah, I mean, we're not real, we live in America. We're all arrogant here. We're all arrogant. Anytime I go out of the country, guess what everybody wants everybody to be like if they're traveling with me from America? As soon as they get foreign food, whatever foreign food is for you, you know, Deborah, for you and Paul, you know, barbecue was foreign, right? From Kentucky. Whatever's foreign to us, what do we say? It's either good or... And what standard do we use? Ours. This is just a sideline today. I think we're very arrogant in this nation when we point our fingers at other countries and tell them how they're supposed to live and how they're supposed to be. I think it needs to be stopped. We all do that. We assume everybody needs to be like us. Bad assumption. False imagery. Our job is to express the image of God. The image of Christ. That's our, we're followers of who? Christ. We got to be careful with our arrogance. Sometimes we live with pretense, don't we? Now, listen, I just want you to run a check. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things we need to put a halt on is we need to quit prospecting and prejudging. We'll be honest with ourselves. We do that sometimes, don't we? How many of y'all see folk and you automatically, well, they're probably like that. Any of y'all ever done that? How many of y'all have ever prejudged on image alone? Well, let's just take for example. If you didn't know me and you saw me, would you prejudge me as a pastor? Huh? I want y'all to know I've never guessed. Nobody's ever guessed me being a pastor. People ask me, what do you do? I said, what do you think I do? They go, drug dealer? I go, no. Most of the time, it's either drug dealer or used car salesman. I thought, where do they get drug dealer? Talk. You know, talk. I love people. I've never been against pastor. Why? This was so sad. I tell him, I said, man, I pastor a church, minister to church. I'm a teacher, instructor in a church. They said, there's no way. I said, why? No way. I said, you love people. You have too much fun. See, because what's the image of the world of those of us that follow Christ? You know what their image is? We're a bunch of prudes. And you know what? We've helped them with that image. We have verified that image way too many times because we've done this. We've pointed our fingers at people and say, well, you're not this and you're not that and you ought to do this and you ought to be that. That's the wrong witness. Our job is not to point fingers at people, but our job is to point to Christ. That's the witness. Here is Christ crucified and resurrected. Here are the teachings of Jesus. Here's the way they're playing out in my life. And he would love to give them to you. Did you realize that some of you were brought here today to hear about the beautiful love of God? If you were sitting here wondering, I wonder why in the world I'm in church. Because Jesus would like you to know that he really does love you. If you're sitting here today and go, I tell you what, I hate religion. You and I are in agreement. Amen. So what do you mean do you hate religion? I hate religion. Let me give you some good news, even better news. Doesn't matter what I love and hate. That won't mean anything in about 30 years because I'll be gone. Jesus hates religion because it doesn't work. And Jesus is functional. How many of y'all got a Jesus that's functional? You know, I've seen so many people that really genuinely love the Lord, sat in church all their life, lived whatever a good quote of moral life was for them, you know, didn't do whatever they considered bad or good, and guess what? Died unfulfilled for their whole experience of life because they never heard of the grace of God that forgave them of their sins and brings them to life. Cross and resurrection. Not just the cross I bear, but after being on the cross, the life I live. David, you've seen this in your beautiful work that God's given you of recovery. Some people just quit using dope and they live a miserable life because they forget the resurrection part. Now that I'm clean, go and live. Now think about this. You won't do this until you do what? Realize you need God, mourn over where you need to be, and get teachable. Blessed are the teachable, the meek, those without prejudge and pretense, for they will inherit the what? Earth. The earth, not just heaven, they'll make a difference on earth. Now, I'm going to give you three principles today. And if you start doing these principles today, especially you young people, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming and thank you for coming back. Because you know what I love about you all? Listen, if you all embrace these principles now, you save a lot of screw up time. Okay? And so don't do this. Don't look at, watch this. I'm seeing this play out. I'm not saying my son is the smartest guy in the world, but he's this smart. I sat him down before he got married and I said, these are the areas that I made mistakes before you were born in my marriage when I was young. You have the capability of the same mistakes because the guy who made those mistakes passed them on in his DNA to you. He goes, I'm listening. And guess what I'm watching him do on the front end of his marriage? Praise be unto God. Not make his daddy's mistakes. Like he's actually home. It's a positive. When you start in marriage to see each other. Elizabeth and I got married. We went one night on a honeymoon. And went to work the next morning. 20 years later, we said, how are you? That's a dumb move. You know who kept our marriage together? God. He kept speaking to Elizabeth. He's going to get it. And she looked over and she said, it better be soon. And he said, Elizabeth, remember, I'm God. Now we got to start there. To be meek is the first confessional. You're not God and I'm not God. And I want to tell you, that sounds so simple, but I'm going to tell you that's the key that opens the door of a full and abundant life. We're not God. But I won't tell you, Garrett, especially young theologians. I love young theologians, especially now. Jackson, you've been in a couple classes I've had to teach. You know what? Young theologians know a lot more than old theologians. You know why? Because when you're young, what's one of the beautiful things about being young? You know everything because what you know hadn't bit you yet. See, the beware of the dog sign is there for a reason. I had one of my blessed, stupid friends. We went duck hunting down in Mississippi in January. This is an intelligent man. This man holds a master's degree in theology. We have a flat tire in nowhere, Mississippi. I mean, the name was so long we couldn't even pronounce the town. We pull in there and it's Mississippi. They said, "Where y'all from?" I said, "We're from Kentucky." And they said, "You Yankees." I said, "You better back your Yazoo mentality up." I didn't say I was from Louisville. I said I was from Kentucky. I said, "We fought on the lower side of the deal." Because they're serious about that down there now. They are. They said, "You eat grits?" I said, "Yeah." "You know what ham hock is?" "He's running the Southern Test." "Yes, sir." "I had polluted my arteries. I'm good." He said, "What do y'all need?" He said, "We need tire fixed." Well, in this place, I mean, this ain't like Big O, okay? It was like Billy Bob's Tire Repair. That's all we could find. It was a big sign. It said, "Beware of dog." Now, what do most people do when they see a sign like this? Now, what was interesting to me, this wasn't a little sign. They had written, This wasn't a printed sign. This was a self-published sign. "Beware dog." It was even a southern "beware of dog" sign. Big letters. Well, my buddy Rick, he walks by the "beware of dog" sign. He's 6'4", about 260 pounds. And he comes back in with his white look going like this. We said, "Rick, what's the matter with you?" He said, "That dog has bit me on my keister." I said, "What dog?" He said, "It was a wolf." He said, "A 250-pound German shepherd broke its leash and bit me on the tail." And we said, "Well, we hate to do this, but it ain't something you ain't done before. Show your tail." Well, we thought he had nipped him. Big old bruise that big. You know why? He goes, "What do y'all think about it?" I said, "I think you're stupid. Can you not be worried? Beware of dog." Now, how many of you have messed up bad because God gave you this sign right in front of you, "Beware of dog," and you stepped right over there thinking the chain was long enough? Chris, I know you've never done that. I'm talking about other people, but you might want to listen. And then all of a sudden, you turned around. And just as you thought you was getting away with it, what happened? That's the way the devil likes to play it. God puts a sign there so that you'll be blessed. Pretty cool, isn't it? So here's what he tells us. He said, "Listen, be meek, don't be arrogant. Listen, let me kind of hold it. I'm going to give you three principles and we're going to the house." Will y'all promise y'all listen to these? Listen, we're almost midterm. All you students right now, if you'll listen to this, it'll be better in December. It's kind of cold today, right? Cooler than it was, right? This is a signal from God. There will be finals. So let's signal up here at the first cold spell, because when it gets real cold, it's too late for you to consider them. Beware of the dog. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who understand God knows more than them. Now here's what I know. John Paul, I know that you're well studied, but I'm going to push you. You can argue with me. You know that. You will. That's what I love about you. You only know what you know. But I think here's where you've become wise. Or I'm going to project this on you. Tell me if you have not. Here's where I think both of us have changed. I'm willing to admit I don't know what I don't know. Michael, you used to know a lot. I've noticed you and I know less than we did when we were 22. Studying Bonhoeffer and the great mystery theologians. We knew a lot back then, didn't we? And we'd tell people a lot back then. Now I'll tell you who I know, but I'm wise enough and old enough now to tell you I don't know. There's some things only God knows. So I'm gonna give you three functions. First, you gotta learn to listen. How important is listening to God? I'll tell you how important it is. Go to Proverbs 4. God starts out in wisdom and he says, guess what? There are three things you got to do to enact meekness. Listen. Listen, my son, to a father's instructions. By the way, Clancy, that applies to daughters. Listen, my sons and daughters, to a father's what? Now, you got to really understand fathers back here in a Jewish context. What do fathers do? Mike, help us with that. You've studied that. What do fathers do in a Jewish family? Bless. They're in charge of the blessing. Remember the little argument? You had the twin boys, Jacob, Esau. And what did Jacob do? He cheated Esau out of the blessing. Remember that? Because who can give the blessing? Fathers. Now, if you look at... Now, mamas can manipulate the blessing. There's nothing changed, has there? You know, everybody says, well, the man's the head. I said, yeah, but the wife's the neck. She usually moves the head, amen? At least that's the way it is in my house. Now, fathers want to bless. What do fathers want to do, gentlemen? Bless. You got that, boys? Your father wants to what? Bless you. So if your father says no, what's he giving you? A blessing. No, yes, he's giving instruction. That is correct. But it's an instruction of blessing, even if it's a negative. True, Dad? I mean, if they came in and said, hey, Dad, I'd like to do some cocaine, what are you going to say? No. Well, good. Thank you. See, I don't even know him, but I'm glad he was going to say that. I sense from the Spirit that well, hold on. Y'all think I'm crazy? What about all the hippie parents that say, well, I think my child needs to have these experiences so they can kind of know on their own? We have those children. They're called Occupy Wall Street. You know why? Boundaries. Blow their mind because they want a God of permissiveness and not a God of blessing. And you spit on the cross when you tell me that our Lord will allow us to live a life of disaster. He calls us to a new way. He died for that. Listen. It's tough to listen because what's this? When you listen to God, guess what he's going to do? He's just like an ultimate parent. How many of y'all hate it when you hear what you don't want to hear? Yeah, me too. And when I get pulled over and they say, sir, you were going too fast, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. I don't like that. But guess what I need? I need to slow down. I need to slow down. For some reason, we agree that we should not run those kind of speeds that I run on the highway because they endanger what? Other people, but see, as long as I'm getting away with it, I feel like it's so. But if I rear end somebody, then it's not going to be okay. Yeah, listen. First thing you got to do to be meek, you got to learn to listen. None of us hold all the answers. None of us do. None of us do. Please be very careful. What's this? Pastor Steve, do I hold all the answers? No. No, who does? But not me. I know some things. I don't know all things. I don't know anybody that knows all things. I don't know anybody. Ready? Number two, you got to observe. Paying attention and gaining understanding. How many of y'all have messed up just simply by not paying attention before? In high school, I rear-ended my best buddies had an MG convertible, and we were going down Scottsville Road one night before it had that many lights, and we had the T-tops off, and he had the convertible down. We had the radios up. We were not paying attention. Now, back then, we had real cars. Back then, we didn't have, like, you know, four cylinders with a motorcycle muffler out the back. Okay, we had, like, real motors in them. And we're flying down. I'm moving. I'm scooting about 65. I got ZZ Top blowing through my Jensen 6x9s with my Radio Shack 100 watt. It really wasn't 100 watt amp, but it said it was. And we got them turned up, you know. And Camaro, baby, T-tops off. And all of a sudden, he locks that little MG up. And guess what? I'm like talking to somebody over here waving out the window. And I turn, and there it was. And there they go. You know why I hit them in the rear end? I wasn't paying attention. How many of y'all have had a bump, a crash, a scratch because you weren't paying attention? Observe. Young people, if there's one thing you all guys got to learn to do, observe. If somebody trashes their lives doing this thing, observe. Elizabeth and I got to meet a couple of cool young couples this week where we were, and we met this young couple, and they were talking to us, and they looked at us and they said, "Man, we want to know how you guys have been married. That blew us away when we heard you've been married 28 years. And they said, "Why?" They said, "My parents are horrible at marriage." He said, "My dad's been divorced 4 times, and my mom's been divorced 3 times. So we just got married on our own because we figured neither one of them knew anything about it." I said, "Y'all are smart." And they said, "So we want to listen to people that have done it right." Man, if that's been your situation, you know what? I want you to know that you don't have to be confined to that reality, because there's a God that'll tell you how to do it right. And that doesn't mean you don't love your mom and dad. That just means they're not really listening well. You know why most people get divorced? They won't listen to each other. They won't hear what each other needs. They want to project what they think on the other person, and it always tears a relationship up. Always. Beware the dog. Number 2, pay attention to things. If that messed somebody else up, then guess what? That'll mess you up. And then the 3rd thing really gets tough. You got to participate. See, a lot of us like to, Andrew, we like to hear what God says. And we even like to observe what God says. But we don't like to participate in what God says. I want to bring you to one of my heroes, and I'm going to close here today. Are you willing to participate? King David, a man after God's own heart, participated with God. Here was his situation. Saul, the present king, got very mad at David because Saul would come home from battle and they would say, "Saul has killed thousands." But then David would come home from battle, and guess what they would say? "But David has killed tens of thousands." So guess what Paul got? I mean, excuse me, Saul got what? Jealous. I want you to hear something. If you'll be meek, you won't have to be jealous. Does that relieve some of y'all? Whew. Especially in this moment of time. You know what? Here's what I really think would make the world work. Why don't you live with what you got? Why do you always want what somebody else has? Yeah. We'd rather be jealous than righteous. We'd rather be envious than ask God what he's calling us to do and be a part of. Now remember the beatitude, y'all, slipping out of your minds. I'm closing here. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the... I'm going to show you they will. I'm going to show you God's principles are always reality tested. David had a call on his life from God. Saul wants to kill David. David gets an opportunity to kill Saul. And I want you to see what he does. "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands," David's buddy tells him. "Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of a spear. I won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on God's anointed and be guiltless?" It's easy to read "blessed are the meek." It's much tougher to become blessed are the meek. Now hold on. Saul wanted to do Thomas. What did he want to do to him? He killed him. Isn't he justified in taking Saul's life? Even aren't we under an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth at this moment? But David knew God. He knew God's heart. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the..." "As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him. Or his time will come and he will die. Or he will go to battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed." Sometimes people ask me about other preachers, and I said, that's God's business. That ain't Pastor Harris' business. That's God's business. Now, if they're preaching something like you can eat, you know, Skittles and go to heaven, then I'm going to correct their teaching. But that's God's business. Look what he said. Now get the spear and the water jug that are near his head and let's go. So David took the spear and the water jug near Saul's head and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up because they were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. You know what David ended up doing? In my opinion, but very accurate. Some of you all have these wild ideas, especially if you're studying political science and you want the wonder. Watch this. There's only one guy that's pulled off what your generation is looking for. Under the reign of David, all the people prospered. What's everybody screaming? They're wanting what? Everybody to prosper. Now, that happened in Israel. You know why it happened in Israel? They all prospered because they all submitted to God's principles. That's not what we're willing to do, though, is it? We're saying, I want to do it my way, but get God's results. How many of y'all have ever done that? I want to do it my way. Ladies, sometimes y'all do this. I love you. You want to find God's man, but you want him to look like you want him to look. Guys are bad about that, too. Lord, I want you to send me the woman of my dreams. He sends you the woman of dreams. Said, no, not that one, Lord, the woman of my dreams. The only way Elizabeth and I stayed married as long as we won, God put us together. Even when we fight, we'll get to laughing sometime. Well, you can't leave and I can't leave because the Lord put us together. And what the Lord put together, no person can ever. Problem is, Lord didn't put all y'all together. Come on, we'll help you. Y'all date a lot in this service here. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hands. But some of y'all got divorced because you didn't listen to your mom and daddy. You had a hard problem when they brought them in and they went like this. No! And then you say, I wasn't sure what my mom was saying. Or is it that you didn't want to? And make observations. You know, one of the reasons I married Elizabeth, my father, who's a man of wisdom, I was very privileged. I have a very godly father. I have a man of wisdom. I have a man who knows how to listen. He knows how to do this. He knows his piet. He looked at me and he said, now, Stephen, you don't need to be in a rush, but you, Elizabeth's probably the only woman on earth that will put up with you. In fact, he said, out of my years of experience in having to go through a lot of divorces with people as a lawyer, not only I'm sure of it, so you need to marry her as soon as possible before she totally finds out who you are. You know what? He was right, but my father wanted to give me a... What's our Father in heaven want to give us? Blessing. Andrew, what do you want to do with that little girl, Charlotte Page? Bless her. That's just in a father's heart. So guess what? God wants to bless us. So meekness in three ways, just so you can get a handle on it this week. Clay, how many times are you going to say, listen up this week with what you do? He works with kids. So he constantly says, listen, 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 listen. Keith, you're in management. How many times are you going to say that this week? More than once. I'm going to say that more here. Say that, listen. Well, guess what? God says it constantly to us. So let's do it. Listen, observe, and then you got to what? Here's the tough part. Participate. And so instead of putting the spear down, sometimes you got to take the spear in the water jug and say, all right, God, I'll listen to you. David went on to be the king that moved the capital to Jerusalem. He went on to set in motion the promise of God. David became the king that the Savior himself was born under. From the line of David comes the King of Kings. He was a pre-king to the King of Kings. But I wonder if he'd have been, if in anger, Danny, he had laid a spear, would that have changed the course? But you know what David was? He was a soldier. The ultimate soldier. And he knew God was the commander. And he knew there was a time to kill. And that bothers some folks. Read your Bible. When there was an uncircumcised Philistine cussing and yelling and trashing God, God put in that same David's hand a weapon and a slingshot. And guess what God said do? Kill him. And guess what God did? He got with a little David boy, slingshot, and boom, he killed the giant. Yes, God killed another human being. I don't know why that alarms some of you. He killed his own son. Because I don't think you understand the depth of God. You hadn't heard it. God is doing and has done and continues to do whatever it takes to bring his children to life. So much that he sent his own self in flesh to die on a cross and shed blood on this polluted earth so that some would live. Are you some of them? It's that deep. Some are going to listen to that and receive it, and guess what some are going to do? Well, I don't think that's the way God works. Please. Do you see how arrogant that is? Especially when you're like 16 or 50 or 150 years old, or you've only read a half a library. You're talking to the all-knowing, everlasting God, and you want to share with the God of all creation your myopic insight? I'm all for intellect kept in perspective. I've studied so that I might know my God more fully, but I have studied long enough to know that I can never know the fullness of God. And so we must embrace and follow, amen? We must bless. We must listen, observe, and then we got to do what? Participate. That bat doesn't work till it's swung, does it? It doesn't happen till you step out. And so today, I hope God's going to step some of you all out. Amen. Y'all are beautiful. Some of y'all need to be baptized. You've received Christ. What's baptism? I've given you three things. Listen, observe, participate. What's baptism? Yeah, you get wet. You participate. You go under. It's a real experience. If I put you under and got to preaching, y'all be a little nervous, wouldn't you? What if I put you under and started telling one of my stories? Y'all be, Lord, get it up, doc. It's a participation in death and life. Go live. Some of y'all been wonderful today. Blessed are the meek. Those that are not pretentious and arrogant, and guess what? We got to help one another not be that way. Here's some things I've learned. It's a whole lot easier to criticize than it is love. It's a whole lot easier to just blow people off than embrace people in. It's a whole lot easier to say a harsh word than it is to speak the kindness of God into human life. In fact, I've learned this. I can't do any of the things that God wants me to do unless God is in me. I'm just not naturally godly. How about you? But guess what I found? When the things of God come out of you, you begin to inherit the earth in a whole different way. This makes sense today? Dwayne, this makes sense? You've read this before. It made sense. Did y'all get it today? Okay, this week, three things we got to work on. First one, listen. Husbands, listen to your wives. Wives, listen to your husbands. Parents, listen to your children. Children, listen to your... Okay, school starts back Monday, right, for the county. Listen to those teachers. What do you think those teachers are there? I got kids that tell me, well, the teacher's trying to get me. I said, oh, really? She's got 40 kids or he's got 40 kids in the classroom and she's called you out specially to aggravate you. I go, you're just not that special. I said, you know what she wants you to do? Learn and leave. You find that out in college, don't you? It's Some of y'all get blown away when the college professor gives you an F and you come back in his office and says, I can't believe that. And he goes, believe it. See ya. And you're devastated, brokenhearted. Because in school they won't fail you because it might hurt your self-esteem. In college they fail you and they make the same A or F. I know. Didn't change that professor. That professor gets paid whatever he's going to get paid, whether you make an A or F. So guess what? Here's how stupid it is to make an F. You paid to make an F. Or more clearly, your parents paid for you to make an F. Or was even worse, you paid interest to make an F. Beware of the dog. He bites. Meek folk listen to God, observe God's ways, and then participate in God's happenings. Cool deal? All right, God brought some of you here today to come into your life. Y'all okay with that? Here's how much God loves you. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell from here. That's good, isn't it? Aren't y'all glad? How many of y'all be in trouble if this happened to you? God said, if you're good, you get to go to heaven, and if you act up, you can't go to heaven. Bet we wouldn't need this worship center. I bet I wouldn't be your pastor. But God said, by my grace, my mercy, my blood, you're going to what? Live. All right, let's stand together. God's done his thing. Now he's asking you to participate. Lord Jesus, I just ask, as you always do, that you would draw folk. Lord, I pray that we would take an introspective look at our own arrogance. Sometimes, Lord, we want to lord over instead of let you be Lord. Lord, we want to tell other people what to do instead of just expose them to what you said. Lord, sometimes our temptations just lead us in places where we get bit by things that you've told us to stay away from. Lord, whatever our situation. Okay, look at me. Some of you today have been drawn by the Holy Spirit to receive Christ. You say, what do I need to do? Well, first of all, you need to realize you can't save yourself, and none of these pastors can save you. I can't save you. But the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to do this if you'll tell him, Lord, I realize I need you, poor in spirit. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Blessed are those who mourn. Lord, I really want you in my life. Oh, you've become teachable. You've listened to the things of God instead of what you think, what you feel, what you see. Here's the problem. We don't have enough knowledge to be saved. We don't have enough emotion to be saved. We don't. And what we see is not always what's there. It's what we image. So let God show you his truth. How do you do that, Lord Jesus? I'm a sinner. And Lord, I need new life. Come into me. Forgive me. Save me. Bring me new life. If that's too long a prayer, this works. Jesus, I don't understand. You help me. He'll take it from there. Because who saves you? Jesus. All right. Altar's open. Some of you need to be baptized. You've already got that taken care of, man. Some of you need to step up. If you've received Jesus Christ in your life, then do what he says. Don't run this weak jive by me. Well, I follow the Lord, but I do it my own way. Well, then let me help you. That means you're not a follower of Jesus. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you say this, I follow Jesus. I have forsaken my way for what? His way. So participate. Come in. Be baptized. Come and receive Christ. Come and be healed. Listen, if your marriage is on the rocks, come pray for it first. Don't give up. Pray it through. Young men, young ladies, if you're dating, pray that God show you the truth. Here's what I pray. Lord, help us listen, help us observe, and help us participate in the things of God today, all right? Altar's open. Come on, guys. The Lord loves you. Come on. Just let him bless you. Let him bless you.